Another apocalyptic text. This is 2 weeks in a row that we get to hear these things, and I just think they're wonderful and strange and mysterious, but mostly wonderful. Look what Jesus says, right? He says that these things are going to happen, that there's going to be all the kinds of chaos and all this stuff. And now remember, the sea and the waves, just like in the story that I told the kids, right? The sea and the waves represent chaos. Total chaos in the world. And it's into that chaos, the waves and the sea, that God first stepped out to create the world. Out of this chaos, God creates order. Separates the waters from the waters and puts some down and some up above in the clouds. Separates the water from the land so that there's order for people to live in. God is the God is the opposite of chaos. So here's Jesus, and he's talking about chaos and how the nations are going to be all confused and confounded by the chaos that is coming. It's really interesting. We can talk about the nations as, you know, like the United States of America, Mexico, and that in that way, nations. But in every text of every Jewish text, the nations means the Gentiles. The Gentiles will be totally confused by all of this. They won't know what to do. In fact, literally what it is they won't have a way out. They won't see a way out of this mess. Which is really interesting because what Jews call Torah is the way. So, and Jesus being a good Jew, what he's saying is, in fact, the Gentiles won't see a way out of this. But God gave Jews Torah. Not to follow so that they could gain favor with God, which Richard Swanson, he tells this very beautifully. He says, look, this is a Christian thing that we invented and put it on top of Jews. Jews aren't looking at to impress God with the way they live Torah. The reason God gave Torah and the reason it's such a great gift is because it actually does give us a way to live in the midst of a world which is filled with chaos. That's what Torah is. And the reason that Jews are obedient to Torah isn't, like I said, to impress God. It's to give the Gentiles a sign so that they are not lost in the chaos. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's an amazing thing. And you think about it, because remember, Israel was to be a light on the hill, right? This is what it's about. Now, when the temple is destroyed, the way that Jews gathered together and heard Torah and reminded one another of Torah was in the synagogue, the gathering. And that became a place in the midst of a chaotic world where there was no more temple, which is absolutely, I don't know if we could ever even imagine how astonishing a thing that is and how chaotic it was. They gathered together in a synagogue. The word synagogue comes from the Hebrew word synagoge, which is together. And now we, in the midst of a chaotic world, we do the ekklesia, which is the Greek word for church, which is the Greek word for gathering, right? So here we are, gathering. In the midst of the chaos of the world, we gather. And I'm talking about the chaos in all the world. Apocalyptic is always talking about the end of the world. And last week we talked about, and maybe it was the week before, anyway, about it is the loss of a world. Right? So, for example, anybody here lost a loved one lately that you're grieving over? It's the loss of a world. And it is so disorienting to have someone that you love no longer be there. And I'm sure I can get a witness to say for people who have lost loved ones even a long time ago, it's still disorienting, isn't it, at times? Mm-hmm. That's the end of the world. That's the sea and the waves and the chaos. What is it that anchors us? What is it that keeps us out of all of the chaos, participating in the chaos, panicked by the chaos? Well, in large part, it is gathering together so that we can reassure each other, that we can tell each other, and this is the key thing, the promises of God. That God promises to be with us in the midst of the chaos. God promises that there is a way out of the chaos. God invites us to a way of living, a way of being in the world. And I don't think there's a better expression of it, really, than in the Sermon on the Mount, where we are told exactly how God is, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? Totally opposite of what we think, but there it is. Blessed are the poor and the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those when you are easy translation, hassled because of Christ. So we need to remind ourselves of who God is and exactly what the nature of God's blessings are and who they're for. And to be able to enter into that way of life that says, and here's Jesus doing midrash on Torah. You have heard it said of old that you are to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, anyone who strikes you on one cheek, turn and offer them the other. If someone forces you to walk 1 mile, carry their burden 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. If someone takes your jacket, give them your shirt too. Whoa. That's a way of being in the world. You have heard it said of old, you are to love your neighbors. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. Where else but in this kind of a gathering are we going to be reminded of that kind of way of being, of that kind of way in the world? And it is so easy to get caught up in the confusion and the chaos. So, a very simple example, because God likes to give me simple examples. You know, a couple days before Advent, here, take this. So, we took Aaron to the movies couple nights ago to see the best Christmas pageant ever, right? It's a lovely movie. It was a great book. We read it to our kids growing up, when they were growing up. And Aaron was with us, and I sat with him, and he leans over to me and he says, are there going to be any violent previews? Because he's been to children's movies before, and there's these violent previews of other movies. I said, I don't know, I'm going to go ask. So I go out, and I ask somebody, is there any violent previews, anything that, you know, my kid's worried about that, my grandson's worried about it? He says, no, nuh-uh, not at all. So you'll be fine. I come back, I report to Aaron. No, I think we're good. Because he said, if it's violent, I'll just go out in the lobby. And I said, no, I think we're good. And I looked around. I even checked. I did a little extra homework. I looked at the movies that are coming up, right? They have the advertisement of the movies. And I said, oh, this is pretty all right. This looks pretty all right. Maybe drama, but no violence. So, the first preview comes along, and what is it a preview for? It wasn't something that was in the posters out front in the lobby. It was for Gladiator 2. You can imagine. And I thought for a minute, what happened here? Did I not understand what he was telling me? Did he not understand what I was asking? And there was Aaron, eyes closed, closing his ears, covering his eyes, because he'd seen this stuff. I mean, he'd seen these previews before, and he was like, it bothered him. It really disturbed him. And I was like, oh, I felt about this big because I had told him, reassured him, that it was going to be okay. Anyway, that stuck in my craw for a while. So last night, I had to go back to the movie theater and talk to them. And I said, what happened here? And he said, well, I didn't look at the previews before I showed them. And I said, Gladiator 2? You have to, is there any imagination where that's not going to be bad? He said, well, it's PG rated, you know. And I was like, oh no, this is not PG. And if it was, that's a hugely low bar. Very low bar for violence. I mean, it was like, it was just horrible, mm-hmm. right? And I thought, I know this man. I love this man. And so I said, is there any, do you have ways that you can take care of this? Like, you can not show these things, right? It's a children's movie. You know kids are going to be here. What are we doing here? And he said, yeah, I guess I've been doing this a long time. I guess this didn't, watching these movies, it's just like, it didn't dawn on me. Hmm. Right. Oh, okay. And we talked about that, and he said, yeah, it was really, it's not good. And he agreed, and I said, you really can't do that to kids. You gotta stop. You gotta watch some of them. I mean, if it's clearly going to be something, right? So we go through it, and it was really good. We had a good conversation about it. But here's what I think. I thought about it going away, and I thought, wow, we are not prepared. We need Advent, right? Because as a culture, we're just simply not prepared. We already have all this stuff in us that says, oh, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. That's not too bad. Folks, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Right? And so being alert in a time of Advent, I think, that's what it said to me. I need to be alert about the things that are going on and the things that I see and the things that I'm bringing kids to. It's like, okay, let's be alert for this. And let's be alert to the chaos. That is really chaos. Gladiator 2 is chaos. And it just is not good. So the point is, though, that the season, it seems to me, is for us to really begin to prepare ourselves, to be aware of all the stuff that's going on around us. And I think this is really helpful for us as well to be thinking about, like, okay, in what ways am I specifically gonna be ready to interact with people in this season? The phrase, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Actually had great homework again with that, with the guy. I was really considering, I'm thinking, how am I going to talk to this guy? I'm going to tell him how much I love him and how much I respect him. I'm going to speak to the light of Christ in him. And do you know, he said the very same thing back to me. I didn't tell him I was speaking to the light of Christ. But he was like, oh, yes, we can have this conversation because I know you, respect you, I trust you. He was just repeating back what I had said to him. And there was this
speaking to the light of Christ in everyone. Now, that was kind of easy because I knew them. But what about the situations where we don't know them and they're not at their best? Right? Advent is the time for us to recognize that everybody is being tossed to and fro in waves of chaos of one kind and another. And our task in this time is to recognize that Christ's light is in them too. And that the calm that can come in Christ is available to them. And it just might be that it's available to them through us. To really focus, Christ's light is in this person. And speak to that. How much, instead of mirroring their anger, their hostility, their frustration, how much better for us to be prepared to say, the light of Christ shines in me, the light of Christ shines in them. That's the level on which we must interact. That's your homework for the week. To really think on that. This is the light that you carry. And it's in them too. Whether they know it or not, whether they're living it out or not, to be able and willing and prepared to actually live the life that Christ is calling us to in this Advent season. 4 weeks of practice. It can come none too soon. Earlier on, I said how fast the year has gone by. And I think part of the reason that the year goes by so fast is because we get on the treadmill of the year, right? Advent comes at the perfect time. Just when we're feeling like we're so in a hurry, here comes Advent to slow us down, to allow us to really soak in. So, be prepared. Be aware of yourself. That's really a great translation of this, be prepared. Be aware of yourself. And be aware that Christ is in others and in yourself. Yes, it's all right. That's the amen of the sermon.